The Carter Personal Air Vehicle is flying over Texas. We get an update. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Many of the amazing new ideas we see in mock-ups at Oshkosh each year never make it into the air, let alone into testing or production. So when one does, it's noteworthy. Carter Aviation Technologies flew the original Carter copter to Oshkosh years ago. The hybrid promised vertical takeoff and landing like a rotorcraft, but with the speed and efficiency of a fixed wing, and largely backed up its claims. But to take the next step, Carter needed resources. That's been a tough barrier in the economy of the past few years. But Carter found a way. First, it was corporate partnerships including Lycoming and Bell Helicopter. Then, another Textron division, UAV specialist AAI, licensed Carter's technologies, bringing much-needed revenue. The city of Wichita Falls provided Carter with economic incentives worth $4 million, but tied to performance milestones. One of those milestones was the first flight of 30 minutes or more for the Carter Personal Air Vehicle, and the program met that one on January 5th. A more informal internal milestone came this week when the PAV made its first vertical takeoff on Tuesday. Jake Carter, the CEO and chief designer of Carter Aviation Technologies, has agreed to take a few minutes out to update us on the program. Jay, thanks for joining us, and congratulations. This has to be a pretty big moment.
It surely is. It's been a while coming.
Well, tell us what has led up to this date. I know that people have been, perhaps who are not closely following this type of aircraft, have a kind of a vague recollection of the steps that have led up to this point, but recap it briefly for us. How did we get here from the original Carter copter?
Well, this is basically the same aircraft. It's just that what we learned on the first aircraft, we've applied to a second aircraft, which was really designed to be more efficient even than the first aircraft. This one will probably be twice as efficient as the first aircraft. And the first aircraft had achieved an efficiency 1.5 times better than the best helicopter in the world has ever achieved. So that was our primary focus on the second aircraft, was to really go after the peak efficiency and to make it a lot simpler to fly, make it a lot safer, and start to look at the commercial applications. So this aircraft has applications both as a four-place kit plane and also as a UAV for the military through AAI, who has a license for the UAV aircraft. They have an exclusive, as a matter of fact, for UAV aircraft.
Okay, now the very abbreviation PAV, Personal Air Vehicle, suggests that this is tied into the vision that many people have of widespread adoption of personal flying machines that don't require an airport. Is that still part of the overall vision?
Absolutely. We have the ability to take off and land vertically and yet fly as fast and as efficient as general aviation aircraft. So all that combined in one aircraft makes for a very attractive, versatile aircraft. And if we can make it, and that's our goal, is to make this thing so simple to fly and so safe to fly that people with a driver's license will have a real interest into getting into flying again.
Okay, now you have a licensing agreement with AAI, which calls for you to develop this technology. You also had an economic development agreement with Wichita Falls, which called on you to achieve certain milestones by a certain point. Tell us how you're going along that timeline, and are they happy?
Yeah, they're happy. We're happy. That's a good relationship. Basically, what they did is they came up with a certain funding level that they said, if you meet these milestones, we will fund you to the tune of about $4 million to give you an economic incentive to stay in the Wichita Falls area. And so we've met two of those milestones now, actually three milestones. You know, we're right on track of what we had set out to begin with.
All right, let's talk about the test flight itself. You made the machines first. I guess it had air under the wheels earlier, but the first real test flight was made on January 5th. What transpired between then and Tuesday when you made a more sustained flight or how many flights have been made as of the 18th?
I'm going to say we've probably made at least 100 flights so far. Most of those flights, though, nearly all of them, except for 2-3 flights, were all just takeoffs and flights down the runway. So we can, you know, because we take off in pretty short distances, we can take off, climb, and come in and make practice our landings. So that's where most of our flying has been done. We made a traffic pattern, and then we came back and did about a 7.5 minute flight. And then on the 5th, we did a 36-minute flight, which was one of the milestones for the city of Wichita Falls. And then since that time, we've focused on the vertical takeoff and landing aspects and actually bringing Larry up to speed on the techniques through the jump takeoffs, because he's never done a jump takeoff before. So we just had some kind of procedures that we followed to gradually bring him up to speed and to feel comfortable with the jump takeoffs. And today was our first zero roll. We've done some jump takeoffs where we just roll down the runway real slow, relatively slow, and then pop collective and jump in the air based on the stored up energy in the rotor blade. But today was the first day that we've done a true zero roll jump takeoff.
Okay. Larry Neal being your test pilot, I think some of our listeners know Larry, who is a institution in the gyroplane world. Let's talk about why autorotative flight. In other words, what is the advantage to be gained in something like the Carter Personal Air Vehicle compared to a helicopter with powered blades?
The autogyro rotor blade is only powered when you're on the ground, and it's only powered when you're spinning the rotor up to a jump takeoff RPM, or to spin it up to an RPM of a normal flying RPM. And so the gearbox then is only used when you're sitting on the ground. A gyro does not require any power to go to the rotor through a drive shaft once you're in the air. So it's the rotor at that point is always in auto rotation, which means you don't have to have a tail rotor in the back to counter the torque. It's only driven by the air flowing up through the rotor blade. So that makes this thing really simple, relatively speaking. No tail rotor. Because we're always in auto rotation, we don't have to worry about dropping collective real quickly in the event that we lose an engine like you have to in a helicopter. In a helicopter, if you lose an engine, you've got to drop collective really fast to get into auto rotation. In our case, we're always in auto rotation. And so that makes for a much simpler aircraft to fly, to the point that to get an auto gyro license takes the same amount of time as it takes to get a private license. Whereas to get a helicopter license, it takes twice as much time. So it's all reflective of the difficulty and the risk involved between an auto gyro fixed wing and a helicopter. And I can tell you that an auto gyro is a lot easier to fly than a fixed wing airplane, because we never have to worry about stall. And basically our rotor blade acts like a parachute. So our parachute is always deployed. So if we lose an engine, our rotor blade is already deployed. And so we simply just come in and make a zero roll or a very slow auto rotation landing.
All right. I guess the other dynamic of this too is if you're talking about achieving the efficiencies that you're targeting, you can only do that by slowing the rotor. At what point now does your program progress to adding the wing extensions to the personal air vehicle and testing it in a mode at higher speed where it will offload some of that lift from the rotor?
Well, we're hoping that we finish. I mean, we kind of think that we'll finish the gyro testing next week. We're still going to probably do a flight for our shareholders meeting. We have a shareholders meeting coming up, and so we'll do the demonstration flight for our shareholders meeting. But immediately after that, we plan to put the full 45-foot wing. It's built, and there's still some work to be done on a landing gear that's got a longer stroke than the one we have right now. So we'll be replacing that. And so as quickly as we can get that modification done, then we'll be back flying in a more high-speed mode, where we start slowing the rotor down and unloading the rotor and basically flying as a fixed-wing airplane. Because once we slow the rotor way down, we essentially are a fixed-wing airplane, and we fly like a fixed-wing airplane. That rotor is just along for the ride. So at that point, then we'll start demonstrating the speed and the efficiency of this aircraft as a fixed-wing airplane.
Jay, after the break, let's talk about when and where that might happen. Jay Carter is my guest. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back to the ANN Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with Jay Carter of Carter Aviation Technologies about the personal air vehicle, which is now in flight testing. Jay, you mentioned we might get a chance to see the PAV fly. Could that maybe happen in time for Oshkosh this summer?
That's always possible. It is our intention to... Once we feel comfortable about the performance and we've gone through the testing and basically, kind of debug the electrical, this first prototype, though, has got some electrical issues that we may want to come back in and clean up, because we can certainly clean up some electrical and make it simpler. But that is our intention, is to basically take this around the country and show people what this aircraft will do. We're planning on selling these as kit planes, totally finished kit planes, where the people come in and work with us, and so that they get not only the training, but also the instruction to build their kit plane in a very short period of time.
Is there any thought as to when that might start happening? Because I know at this point you've probably got a couple people sitting on the edges of their chairs.
We actually have over 40 deposits, but we haven't told them what the final price will be. So at this point, their deposits are all refundable. As soon as we know for sure what the price is going to be and what we're going to sell them for, well, then we'll make that announcement and we'll start taking additional orders on the kit plane version.
Well, Jay, I have to, just in closing, observe that being a company that sets out to license technology is not something most people pull off. I think we've heard in the past a lot of companies announce that they're going down that route, but in many cases, the loss of control over the manufacturing process or the inability to attract the kind of investment, both from individual investors and companies with complementary technology, just never seems to always happen the way people hope it will. You seem to have pulled off the impossible here. I got to congratulate you and ask you if you have any tips for other people trying to go that way.
Well, I wouldn't say we pulled off the impossible, because we're not in volume production, but we have licensed our technology now twice. And what gives us the advantage, of course, is we got 23 patents already on this technology. This was considered to be impossible, so some of our patents are what they classified as virgin patents, because there's just nothing out there. There was not anything close to what we did. So that's given us a real advantage, and of course we got an aircraft that by combining these two technologies gives us something that no other aircraft can do. So that also puts us in a pretty strong position. So, but yet, you know, and we've licensed the technology, but still at this point, I would say we're on first base, maybe second base. You know, we're not really in volume production, and that's when I'll say that we've been really successful, is when this thing really is in volume production. And, of course, the way we intend to achieve that is really through licensing the technology, and we'll demonstrate its capabilities with these aircraft by basically taking them on a national and then worldwide tours.
Okay, well, this will really be the final question. Is Dad excited about this?
Yeah. In fact, he was out here today to watch our jump takeoffs. I mean, this is pretty exciting stuff. It really is pretty exciting stuff. So, yeah, he was out here today.
Well, Jay, I'm going to wish you all the best in 2011. Thanks for making some positive news that we can all get excited about, because there's been kind of a dearth of that for the last year. And go get them.
Thank you, Paul. Nice talking to you.
Jay Carter is the CEO and chief designer of Carter Aviation Technologies in Wichita Falls, Texas. Find out more about the company and the Carter personal air vehicle online at cartercopters.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.